Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, Conference Championship Sunday, Super Bowl 57 is set. We also have Eli Manning. Ever heard of him? He's won two Super Bowls. We have him on the show. Hank recused himself from that interview. Didn't want to be there for that. We have a great show talking about the games on Sunday, not talking about the referees, but maybe talking about the referees for a little bit. And it's a football Sunday. It's the second to last one that we've got, so let's embrace it. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Okay, let's go.
Presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take. Today is Monday, January 30th.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Week Conference Championship.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
We start in Philadelphia where Brock Purdy had a Liberty-sized bell crack in his elbow in the first quarter, giving us Josh Johnson from
San Diego,
from
the Tampa Bay Buccaneers,
from
the Sacramento Mountain Lions,
from
the Cleveland Browns,
from
the Cincinnati Bengals,
from
the New York Jets,
from
the Indianapolis Colts,
from
the Buffalo Bills,
from
the Baltimore Ravens,
from
the New York Giants,
from
the Houston Texans,
from
the Oakland
Raiders, from
the Washington Redskins.
We don't say that word anymore. From
the San Diego Fleet.
From
the Detroit Lions.
From
the Los Angeles Wildcats.
From
the Denver Broncos.
That's a lot of froms. Who's Kyle Shanahan is this as he showed that he's the worst challenger since 1986 after keeping the flag in his pocket on a Devontae Smith bobble, turning the game early? Speaking of who, I can see for miles and miles and miles Sanders found pay dirt twice. Update the ledger. Nick Wawa So Serious Sonny has Fast Batman, Fat Batman, and Muscle Batman on his side, and the Eagles are headed back to the Super Bowl. Grease up those light poles, Philadelphia. Eagles 31, Niners 7.
And we finish in Kansas City, where Andy Patrick Reed was ready for a fight, but in a stunning reversal of roles. It was his opponent, the Bengals, that threw a T, leading to a tied second-half game after Higgins found the end zone. The contest, unfortunately, had a lot to do with the refs, as Ron Tolbert and Ernie called the game like an absolute muppet, while the line judge Jeff Big Load of Semen was an absolute nut. Joseph Osai, can you see that Patrick Mahomes is two steps out of bounds as the Bengals defender got a critical late hit penalty, leading to a Harrison Ford Bucker successfully landing a plane for once through the uprights. We're in for a treat as Candy Reid now faces his former team in Super Bowl 57. The Chiefs 23, the Cincinnati Bengals 20.
And that was a quick, fastest 2 minutes.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Okay, conference championship. We have Super Bowl 57 set in Phoenix, Arizona, February 12th.
Glendale, Arizona,
and Scottsdale, Arizona as well, where most of the events will be being held. The Philadelphia Eagles going against the Kansas City Chiefs, conference championship weekend.
It was a weird fucking day. It was a weird day, and we're gonna do a little flip it and reverse it because the Chiefs-Bengals game has a lot more to talk about, and we just finished watching it. So we're gonna start with that. Then we'll get to Eagles-Niners. PFT, I think we should do something real quick before we get into this game. I think we should set a timer, Jake. I think we should allow ourselves 3 minutes to talk about the refs. Because no one really wants to hear a podcast talk about the refs, but we do at least need to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
So 3 minutes, and then we talk about the game.
Okay, so the Chiefs had a stunning... Set, yep. Yeah, ready, set,
yep.
Go. Okay, so the Chiefs had some great fifth down conversion plays in their arsenal.
Yes, they
did. So Andy Reid thought of everything. They had the one play that was complete... That never happened.
Yep.
It was like a wrinkle in time that just got wiped off the face of the earth. There was a missed hold towards the end of the game on Sam Hubbard on the scramble play where Patrick Mahomes went out of bounds.
Possibly missed block in the back.
There were two missed blocks in the back on that one punt return, which was a shitty punt. Don't get me wrong. It was like a line drive. Should have gotten more air under. But they missed those. The late hit call was good. That was the correct call
to make. It was 100% the correct
call. But they also missed a late hit call earlier against Joe Mixon as the Bengals were going in.
So my biggest deal with the refs is this is Championship Sunday. We should be watching four teams playing the best football of the year going into the Super Bowl to punch a ticket, and instead we watch that game, and even if you are an objective, unbiased observer, you're not a Bengals or a Chiefs fan, you watch that game, and you're like, they have no fucking clue what's going on. The refereeing was bad. Spots were bad. Everything was bad, and it shouldn't be that because it takes away from the actual games. And I do feel bad for Bengals fans. We'll get into the actual game. I still think the Chiefs, like, you know, they were the team that made more plays when it counted at the end, so they deserve to win. I'm not taking anything away. But we shouldn't even have to do 3 minutes about the refs. And the refs were crazy. The refs decided a lot of shit in the first game, too, which was obviously an easier win for the Eagles. But, man, were they bad.
Zach Taylor just spent the second half of the game with his blood pressure up around like 250.
And rightfully
so. Screaming the entire time. There was nothing he could do. He should have gone the Pat Bev route and like brought a camera down onto the sidelines and just shown them, hey, here's all the stuff that you're fucking up for me. I do feel bad for Bengals fans. They played well enough to win at times.
At times.
It was a good matchup. It was a good matchup between two good teams. So I was hoping that it was going to have more to do with what happened on the field and not waiting to see what's going to happen with all these calls. Now, that being said, this shit is rigged. The NFL is rigged. It's rigged for ratings or for money.
The award.
The script. No, yeah.
You two are still a majority vote.
Well, guess what? Yeah. I think that we should do the award this week because by default, there's only one play that was called correctly this entire weekend. So we'll have the Kadarius Tony touchdown wiped off.
Yeah,
this shit is fucking rigged. Yeah. The NFL is rigged. It's scripted. Everything, they get a script at the start of every season, and then Hollywood kicks them out because no one would believe the script.
30 seconds.
And they bring back a rewrite, and they're like, okay, we can believe this script. They want Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
Jake, time out real quick to look up a fact.
Pause, 23 seconds.
Okay, time out to look up a quick fact. What is the name of the stadium in Glendale, Arizona?
I believe it's State Farm Stadium.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Patrick Mahomes on every commercial, that's interesting. Isn't that interesting? Time back in.
23.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So we're not suspending the award? We're giving it?
No, that's just a little bit interesting. If you ask me, the number one spokesperson going into the stadium that's named after this insurance company? Huh.
I think it's
10 seconds.
It's rigged.
9.
It's rigged.
8.
It's rigged.
7.
It's rigged. Rigged.
6. Rigged. Rigged.
The NFL's 5. Rigged. NFL rigged. Rigged. Rigged.
Keep
rigged.
The award.
Rigged.
Keep the award.
No, it's rigged.
No,
it's
give rid of the award this week.
It's okay. Rigged. It's 1. Suspended.
Okay.
Rigged.
Whoa. Oh. Nice, Jake. Okay. Let's talk about the game.
Jake has bad to the bone as his alarm.
Let's talk about
piano riff. It's a default.
Let's talk about the game because I think we did justice there for Bengals fans who were tuning in and wanted justice. This game was awesome outside of everything we just talked about because it was Mahomes and Burrow like going shot for shot at times where you felt like the Bengals were out of it, but they're never out of it. That huge drive that Joe Burrow had, that touchdown to T. Higgins. Mahomes with like, I mean, I still think his ankle is clearly a lot better than we thought, but still, that run to set up the perfect late hit was like a gutsy run. And he made that, the pass that Mahomes made, the second touchdown pass. I can't remember who he threw it to, but it was one of the like sickest passes, greatest drives, like gutsy drives.
Hardman,
yeah.
MVS.
MVS, he stepped up in the pocket, hit him with an absolute seed right down the middle of the field. It was like it was both of those quarterbacks were just, you felt like either of them could win that game late, and the Chiefs just made more plays. Like they made more plays, and the punt return was obviously very significant. It's funny because we've been talking all year how the Chiefs special teams would bite them in the ass. It actually went reverse. Kind of won them that game because that was a, like, what is it, you know, like 30 seconds left, they get a 20-yard return that now says, hey, all we need is like 20 yards here and maybe a late hit out of bounds, which was the correct call.
It was the correct call.
That's not a ref complaint because they got that right, and people who were upset about that call, they call that 100 times out of 100 times.
Especially on Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Especially on one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So maybe there was something to the fact that since Patrick Mahomes was injured and he's kind of like limp running, you start licking your chops if you're a defender. You're like, I want to lay this dude out.
Right.
And you keep going. He was like, he had both feet out of bounds. Osai hit him and immediately like started crying. One, because his knee buckled. And then two, because he was like, oh shit, I literally cost my team a trip to the Super Bowl.
That potentially sucks so bad.
By doing that. I feel bad for him. I feel bad for the guy because by all accounts, everybody in Cincinnati loves him. Maybe not anymore, but they used to love him up until that point.
And they were zooming in on his face.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was just like, let's get all of this. He basically was getting the treatment of like a band member in March Madness.
Yeah, the Villanova Fluke Girl.
Yeah, that's just what, like, let's just get him at his absolute worst, you have to do if you're the broadcast team.
Two things that the cameramen love is just finding hot chicks in the crowd and just like putting a camera on them for some reason, and then if somebody's crying. And we even had crying before the game. Chris Jones wept during the national anthem. That's fucking cool as shit. That's the most metal thing that you can do is to cry during your country's national anthem.
Yes, no Sean Moreno.
You knew that it was on from the moment that Chris Jones was crying. Also, you knew it was on from when Chris Jones dropped the Burrowhead seal at Burrowhead remark. This was like a heat check moment where it's like, I think most logical people heard the Burrowhead talk and were like, wait a second, Patrick Mahomes is pretty good at football.
Right.
And it seems like they're trying to anoint the Bengals as completely owning the Chiefs a little too early. This is like the stuff that you talk after that game's over, maybe if you beat them again. And they definitely heard it, definitely pissed them off and gave them a little extra motivation,
well,
I think.
It was also like the Bengals have spent the last 2 years being the plucky underdog, the team that no one believes in. They're winning these games out of, like, you know, like some of them crazy lucky bounces. Some of them just Joe Burrow and the rest of the team is super talented. Their defense in the second half, all that stuff. And then the Burrowhead, it's not like they needed more motivation because the AFC Championship game, but it did flip it a little bit where it's like, oh, the Bengals aren't really the plucky underdog anymore. They're talking shit, which go ahead, talk the shit. But then you see the reverse with Chris Jones before the game, Chris Jones making basically the defensive play of the game when he sacked Joe Burrow on that 3rd and 7 with 45 seconds left. And then Travis Kelce just running up the score with them with the Burrowhead my ass and calling the Cincinnati mayor a jabroni. Hard J. Used hard J.
He's a recurring guest of Part of My Take.
But yeah, when those things, when you talk shit and you lose, you have to expect it to come back at you.
Yeah, that's the guy that Billy at lunch without microphones or anything was just like, hey, Mr. Mayor, let's put our cards on the table. Have you seen the Harambe footage?
Yeah.
That's the same guy. So he's been a recurring event
on
this show.
He's a jabroni right now.
He now has to admit he's a jabroni.
He's Mayor Jabroni.
Should I call him?
Yeah, call Mayor Jabroni. He's probably not doing so hot right now.
Probably not.
He just got called the jabroni in front of the entire nation.
I'll text him and ask him for a comment if he has a comment on being a jabroni.
Yeah. Are the rumors true? Are you a jabroni?
Mr. Mayor.
No, Mr. Jabroni.
Mr. Mayor Jabroni.
Mayor Jabroni. He's Mayor Jabroni now.
Mayor Jabroni. And also leading up to the game, when Eli Apple starts like telling you, see you in Cancun, like have fun talking all that shit in Cancun, that should have been another indication. Like, you know how like people that are really good at picking stocks say, when my parents hit me up and ask me about a stock, that's when I know that it's time to sell. Eli Apple starts talking shit to you about like, okay, have fun on your vacation, the run's about to end.
Yeah.
At that point.
And it
flying
did,
too close to the sun.
It did feel like there was a couple plays where it felt like the Bengals team of destiny, like they just find a, I mean, the Patrick Mahomes fumble, which was so crazy that he just flubbed the ball in the middle of the air. They ended up going for it on 4th and 6, which was a gutsy call in no man's land. Huge, huge shot down the field to Ja'Marr Chase. And then when the Bengals got the ball back with like 2 minutes left, and you're like, all right, here we go. Here's Joe Burrow. It's going to happen. They pick up that 3rd and 17 which was just a crazy, you know, like, holy fuck, they just did this. They're going to go all the way down the field. They're going to kick a field goal. They're going to go to the Super Bowl. And then Chris Jones, problem.
Big problem.
This was what we said on Friday. Like, the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line, and they get credit because they did everything they could in their power to fix it, and then injuries happen. So it's not like we're sitting here back here after last year's Super Bowl being like, how could the Bengals not see this coming? They did everything they could to fix that offensive line. They had a really, like, unfortunate string of injuries at the end of the year. And then they go into Buffalo. They play a great game, you know, snow game, hard for the defensive line. The Bills don't have playmakers like that on the defensive line. Then they come up against Frank Clark and Chris Jones, and you saw it. Like, they adjusted well after the, what was it, four sacks in the first. I think Joe Burrow had the same amount of completions as sacks in the first quarter. And from that point on, the Bengals adjusted well, but when the big play happens, it's like Chris Jones is going to beat the guy in front of him because the guy in front of him is not that great.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is Joe played well enough to overcome most of those things too.
Right.
Like, he threw that dime to Jamar on fourth down.
Yep.
That's great. We were watching the game, and that's the kind of throw that, like, great quarterbacks make. They try. You have Jamar Chase. Throw him the ball.
Right.
I know he's in double coverage. Throw the ball downfield. Let Jamar Chase make a play on it. Just a side note here, the Bengals uniforms tonight looked awesome. I think they were whiter.
They did, which hurts more, like, because when it was like
neon white.
Yeah, if you're a Bengals fan, there's going to be a lot of sadness. You do have Joe Burrow, and you also have another shot at this thing with all these guys not, you know, like, I think all their wide receivers don't have to get paid for another year. So you got another shot of it. But to have sick looking uniforms, then you close your eyes and you're like, damn, we looked fucking good and we lost.
Yeah,
it's brutal. And the whole game, it was crazy because neither team could run the ball. Joe Burrow had the most rushing yards of the entire game with 30.
Yeah, that one run that he had for like 15 yards in the fourth quarter, that was the longest run of the game.
Or the one that he had where it was like the perfect design play where there was just no one in the middle of the field. He picked up a big third down. Yeah, it was just big play after big play by both guys, and the Chiefs made more big plays. Like, their defensive line showed up when it needed to. And that was the difference in the game. Like, mm-hmm. It was crazy watching the Chiefs too, because it felt like the entire second half. Like, I don't know if it's because who got hurt. It was Mecole Hardman got hurt. I think Kadarius Toney got hurt. You could see it. Like, the Chiefs didn't have. I mean, MVS was the guy who was doing the most of the work. Like, they didn't have those difference makers that you're used to watching a Chiefs game, but they made a few plays, and Patrick Mahomes back in a Super Bowl. Like, 5 years. Three Super Bowl appearances. He's going to win his second MVP probably in a couple weeks.
To Joe Flacco, like, first 5 years of his career.
Yeah, it's, I mean, going into this, it was a lot of Mahomes versus Burrow. Like, if Burrow wins, you got to take Burrow. I don't know. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is still Patrick Mahomes. He's fucking incredible.
Yeah, so what ended up happening this week was it played perfectly into the Chiefs' hands, because the Chiefs, they can't even do it as a bit anymore to be like, nobody believes in us.
Right.
It's us against the world. Everyone thinks that we suck. And the Bengals gave them all that legitimate bulletin board material to look at. That's like day one stuff. That's how Nick Saban gets his teams that are filled with like infinity five-star recruits to be like, nobody thinks that you can win a football game against Troy.
Right.
You know, like, in the NFL, the Chiefs have reached that level where they're expected, they're favored every single week. Everybody believe, like, literally everyone in the NFL believes in the Chiefs.
Yes.
But this week, they were able to say with a straight face, nobody believes in you. They don't think that you can win. Everyone's against you this week. And they bought into it. And it was was Patrick Mahomes being a dog, too.
Yeah.
He was awesome today. Patrick Mahomes, considering the pain that he was dealing with that foot taped up, he didn't take a shot, he said. He was a fucking beast today.
Yeah, and I think that because he was playing and looked, I don't know, somewhat like normal Mahomes, obviously he was still injured. I at least during the game forgot at moments that he had a high ankle sprain like 7 days ago, because he is that type of dude, and he's tough as fuck, made big plays when it mattered. And the Bengals, man, I guess when you have five AFC championship games at Arrowhead, you have like iconic moments, but Joseph Asai is up there with Dee Ford now,
mm-hmm.
like in terms of a game changing play that probably cost you a chance at a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I don't know if, was there like 15 seconds left? So maybe they get it. Maybe they get a couple plays off and they're able to get those yards anyway. But
no, I think the very next
It was 8 seconds
after. The very
after.
Next yeah, play yeah, was yeah, the right. kick.
Yeah, yeah, because it was a run.
It, would have been like a 57-yard field goal or something. It was a 45-yarder, so it would have been.
He was down at the 42. The Cincinnati 42. So it's like a 60-yarder.
Yeah, 57-yarder. Yeah, and they were saying left, they would have had a in chance that cold, it would have been bad. Comment from the mayor. Mayor of Cincinnati. Mayor Gibroni, excuse me.
Yeah.
Mayor Gibroni said, yeah, deserve that. Congrats to KC on a well-fought win, and good luck in Arizona. Proud of our fans and our Bengals for the energy all year. Who day?
Okay, yeah,
so
he's
still
a Gibroni.
Confirmed Mayor Gibroni.
Yeah, I mean, he said, I am Mayor Gibroni.
He should change his name to Mayor Gibroni.
Yeah. He is. What are you going
to
say, Billy?
How can you have access to the Harambe footage and just never check it out if you have that power?
That's true.
Think about it.
It's a waste of power.
Yeah, like a Gibroni wouldn't do that.
That's day one. You go to the, you demand. Like if I was president, I'd be like, day one, I want to see the files on Nancy Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
And then day two, I'd be like, give me the JFK stuff.
Yeah, it's becoming,
if I'm the mayor
it's becoming,
of Cincinnati, show me the fucking Harambe film.
No, it's becoming, becoming the president being like, well, so what's the deal with aliens?
Yeah.
Right, first question.
Harambe.
Give me the alien shit.
Down, I need to have a, clear my schedule.
Right. This is really the only reason to run for mayor of Cincinnati.
I would create a life-size diorama of the Cincinnati Zoo in the office and then just have it set up with like bullet trajectory paths.
Yeah, tell me exactly. Was there a second shooter?
Well, the good news is we don't have to make like a Nick Sirianni murdering Harambe shirt.
Yeah, that's true.
We could do it with Andy Reid. We could do it with Andy Reid for this game.
So people know... the shirt that we put on sale last year when the Rams beat the Bengals, we had our end of the year merch review, and it was a top 10 selling shirt. The one with Sean McVay holding a smoking gun and Harambe has bullets in his chest. So yeah, that listen, you're a
sickos.
Lot of sick fucks
sick,
out there.
I said,
remember when the thought popped in my head and I had Triggs, who's an incredible artist, draw that for us. I said, this is a terrible thought. And anyone who buys this shirt's a sicko. Turns out there's a lot of sickos out there.
We actually told people not to buy the shirt.
Yeah.
And it was one of our most successful shirts the entire year. So
Harambe still sells.
You guys don't listen to us.
It is crazy. Like we'll do all of our Super Bowl storylines on Wednesday. Because this is now like a legacy for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes going back to another Super Bowl that I think we were saying this maybe a week ago, like if you're going to be the team of this decade, you got to win more than one. And now going to 3 in 5 years and potentially winning another one, like that would put it on the map of like, hey, these guys have owned these last half decade of NFL football.
Yeah, I'm just glad that we don't have to go through with the whole Tom Brady, Peyton Manning debate, like trying to make Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes into Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
It made no sense.
I like saying that Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes are like Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes.
Right. It also just made, it was basically everyone was trying to, they saw these two quarterbacks, young quarterbacks in the AFC. They're like, what is this like? Oh, it's like that last time we had two young quarterbacks. But it made no sense because the idea was that Mahomes is Peyton Manning. And, you know, is awesome and wins the MVPs, and then Burrow beats him in the playoffs. But Mahomes already has a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
Manning didn't have a Super Bowl for a long time.
It's a lot like the Brady-Peyton Manning debate. If Peyton Manning had a Super Bowl and Tom Brady didn't have any Super Bowl ones,
yeah, it made no sense.
It makes zero sense whatsoever. So I'm glad we just get to be like, it's Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes. They're both pretty good. Let's enjoy watching them.
And the Brady-Manning debate just set up perfectly for sports debates because it was Manning was the better quarterback in the regular season all the time, and Brady just had all the rings.
Yeah.
It's just completely
opposite.
Here.
It was dumb. I'm glad that we don't have to pretend to have that conversation.
MVPs and rings.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say Patrick Mahomes still on top. I you know, Bengals fans, that is going to be it. That's worse than the Super Bowl loss, I would say, because you had that game. It felt like you never had the game, but it did feel like with 2.5 minutes left, when Joe Burrow picks up that 3rd and 17, you're like, this is it. We're going to do, this is going to be it. Joe Burrow's the man. And I like, it must be incredible rooting for a guy like Joe Burrow, because I obviously had that future on the Bengals. I never hedged because I was like, oh, Joe, even down 13-6 at half, you're like, it's Joe Burrow. Like, he'll be back in this game. They're going to be back in this game. They always are back in the game. And they just, the luck kind of ran out.
Yeah. It's tough. It's got to be a tough morning. You're probably not listening to this if you're a Bengals fan. Let's be honest. You might be listening to this maybe on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And so, in which case, I hope that you're doing okay.
I also I want to say one thing for Bengals fans. I do. I did think that you guys were maybe the most sensitive fan base in the NFL this year, but now I'm on your side because you have rights to complain and get your complaints off. Like, what you have now is a week of, I want to see all the screen grabs. I want to see the block in the back, still images. I want that tweeted at everyone. Like,
oh, yeah.
You when you lose a game like that, the only thing that you have in terms of, like, therapy is to get in arguments with random people online for the next 5 days and just be like, look at this play. Look at this play.
Try like 3 years.
Yeah.
I want to see the screenshots. I want you to circle them using the Telestrator tool. I want you to reply to every Adam Schefter tweet with like four separate photos of ways that you got hosed today. I want you to just be very active because you need to get these emotions out in some way. And I think just spite and vengeance are going to be the two emotions that you need to lean heavily on.
Yes.
And I have to imagine that Cincinnati will be lining up behind the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes.
Right? In the
yes.
Super Bowl.
I think
so
America
Cincinnati
will.
Is now...
I think,
didn't we say that Cincinnati was the Philadelphia of Ohio?
Yeah.
This is perfect. The sister city of Philly.
You're ready to go.
Cincy and Philly. Cincy, fucking Cincy. No one likes us, and we don't care.
Yeah. And the Chiefs, you have Patrick Mahomes, and that's the greatest thing that you could ever have in the entire world.
It really is.
Of all the things...
Big house. I'd rather have Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, if you're like $100 million or get a roof for Patrick Mahomes, I think it might be roof for Patrick. Like, if you can't watch, if you're a Chiefs fan, it's like you can't watch Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Or you can have this lump sum of cash. It's like Patrick Mahomes brings happiness that money can't buy.
Like, would you rather have a big giant family who all loves you?
Yeah.
Or Patrick Mahomes?
Right.
Probably
Patrick Mahomes.
I mean,
no doubt about it.
Chiefsaholic has Patrick Mahomes. He might be in prison right now, but he's still very, very happy with his life because he still has Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, like, would you rather, like, you have to have a car that breaks down every single week, no matter what. It's like Groundhog's Day, so you don't even realize, like, oh, shit, my car's broken down again, but you get to root for Patrick Mahomes. Take that deal.
Patrick Mahomes.
Every fucking day.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes.
It's Patrick Mahomes.
I'd say Patrick Mahomes. You can't buy Patrick Mahomes.
No. You can just hope to draft him.
And it'll never happen.
Yeah. Never, ever. Never again. I mean, it's just, yeah, the Chiefs are fucking... They make big plays. Patrick Mahomes is a dog. It will be interesting to see what happens with some of these injuries because didn't you feel like the Chiefs had no explosive plays?
Yeah.
They had a bunch of plays where Travis Kelce would get open or Patrick Mahomes would buy enough time to find someone, but it never felt like they had a designed, here's a perfect design play where we just know we're going to rip off 30 yards.
Yeah, no, it's...
like the Pacheco play, which was...
I was going to say Pacheco is really their main guy that I would want the ball in his hands all
he's
the time.
He's a monster.
Like, Pacheco is awesome, and it puzzles me why they keep giving the ball to Jerick McKinnon because he's just a less talented version of Pacheco, and Pacheco's awesome.
Pacheco never stops moving.
He never stops moving. People can't tackle him for some reason. It's like he's greased up. And so I don't know why they insist on like – maybe like it's a load management thing. They don't want Pacheco to get too tired running for 15 yards every time he has the ball in his hands.
There was one play. There was one point in the game where he had a huge play, got kind of like his bell rung a little bit, and then they put in Jerick McKinnon so he could catch his breath, and Jerick McKinnon just promptly ripped off a -2 yard.
That's run. What he does.
Yeah.
-2 yard swing passes.
Yeah.
It makes no sense why you would work McKinnon into the rotation when you have a perfectly good Isaiah Pacheco right there.
How crazy was that Mahomes fumble? That was the other moment where if you're a Bengals fan, you're like, this is it. We got it. Like
that was,
the ball just fell out. And credit to Tony Romo, who's like, I don't know if that's a fumble or not.
Yeah, of course. Tony doesn't know. Tony doesn't know. Like, Tony had an all-time bad day today.
Yeah.
Very bad. Just annoying. Just yelling over my television the entire time.
Debating that holding penalty when it was going to be either 4th and 8 or 3rd and 18. It's like, dude, don't give Patrick Mahomes another play.
Yeah.
Why would you – like, that is just certified death. The refs tried to do it, giving him another play.
Yeah.
But don't give him another play. Let them decide what to do with the 4th and 8, and they ended up punting. And fuck, man.
Yeah.
That was a good game. Other than the refs, it was a great game.
I had the take last week that Kirk Cousins has had a better NFL career than Tony Romo did.
Ooh.
And people got mad, but then you look at the facts.
Oh, yeah, no.
And you can't argue. Numbers never lie.
Yeah.
I would rather have Kirk Cousins as the quarterback of my team for his whole career than Tony Romo. That's a fact.
If Tony Romo was the starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers' entire career,
Nobody would know his name.
He would be like a funny name that we'd bring up.
I'd forget him already. Yeah. He actually would
maybe be more loved because we'd be like, remember Tony Romo? Like, man, he was good, but he played for a bad team.
What if he was on? Yeah.
Yeah, right.
He'd get Jake Plummer'd.
Right, uh-huh. Right. You'd be like, man, just things didn't work out for him.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else on the Chiefs-Bengals game?
Travis Kelce has 15 postseason touchdown catches, tying Rob Gronkowski for the most by a tight end in NFL history.
Whoa.
I'm still a Gronk guy. I say Gronk over Kelce. But he's making it hard for me to stay on that take.
He's not even a big game player. He's an every game
player.
He's an every game player.
Hank, I have a debate for you. What would you rather have? All the years that you've had with Tom Brady in your past before he left you and left you in a ditch, and now he's going to go play for even another team afterwards? Or you get to have Patrick Mahomes and the entire future of Patrick Mahomes in front of you?
Brady.
Okay.
Six Super Bowls.
Also, Frank Clark is now, I believe, second all-time, third all-time. He had another 1.5 sacks. So he passed Terrell Suggs, and I believe he might be a half a sack behind Bruce Smith. So he's going for history in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Most career playoff sacks, which is insane. Because it also, I'm pretty sure Chris Jones, he had 2 sacks this game. I think the first one was his first playoff sack.
Really?
Yeah, I believe so. I think they said that on the broadcast, which kind of makes sense because he's doing a lot of other things that aren't, you know, like...
He's a space eater.
Yeah, right. But then they put him out on the edge on that 3rd and 7, and he just fucking won it easily. Yeah. And that was, I mean, again, the play of the game on defense for the Chiefs, because that it did feel like Burrow was going to go down the field. All right, let's do a quick ad, and then let's do the NFC Championship game.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
I'm just responding to someone. Someone said, Patrick Mahomes Fleshlight on Twitter said, you've been rooting against KC in every playoff game since 2018. That's not true. Too bad. I had a Bengals future. Too bad you can't spend most of this podcast nutting over Burrow in a loss like you did with Allen last year. Give Chiefs Kingdom their flowers without caveats for once. I'm just saying, shut up, loser. You just won the AFC Championship game. The fact that you're thinking of me when you just are going to the Super Bowl, I also think... We get a lot of, like, we give Patrick Mahomes how can you not give him credit? He's the fucking best quarterback in the NFL.
Was he not number one in your postseason rankings?
Of course he was. Yeah, he's the best quarterback in the NFL. It's Chiefs fans looking to get more credit for Patrick Mahomes. Shut the fuck up. You don't deserve that right now. We give a ton of credit. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. I can't say it enough.
We would literally give up everything.
Don't be the guys being like, you guys got to give us more credit. You guys get all the credit. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL.
If you gave me the opportunity, I would leave this podcast tomorrow if it meant that I got to root for Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
I'd leave everything. I'd go live out in the desert somewhere in a tent.
And just
if it meant that on Sundays I could come into a city with electricity and watch Patrick Mahomes play football for my favorite team.
Just watch one game. I wouldn't even watch the rest of the NFL.
Yeah, no, just him. Just him every week.
Also, we have the Chiefs players, which I love, saying on looked like a Instagram Live. Eli Apple, I'm going to smoke one for you as they're holding cigars.
Mm-hmm.
And then even better, the first reply is receipts are here too, and it's just a screen grab of the hold on Trey Hendrickson on that 3rd and 4 with 15 seconds left, which was a hold.
It was a hold.
We addressed it in the refs.
We can't comment any further about it. If you want to, you're more than welcome to rewind to the first part of the show and listen to 3 minutes of ref bashing.
Yes. Okay. Eagles, Niners, what we expected to be an incredible game, turned out to be the Niners having every single player get hurt. Brock Purdy got hurt. Then Josh Johnson came in. Josh Johnson's played for 14 NFL teams. Then he got hurt. Then Brock Purdy came back in, couldn't throw the ball. But it doesn't matter because the Eagles won the game and they won it handily. I know that, like, obviously everything changes once Brock Purdy gets hurt because they literally couldn't throw the ball for essentially 3/4 of the game. But the Eagles 1, and there's no apologies here, right, Max? 22-1 kid marches on.
Definitely no apologies here.
No apologies. Well,
let's also not forget that Christian McCaffrey got in for a little bit at quarterback,
yeah,
and he threw a pass that landed, I think, 25 yards away from any eligible receiver. It was impressive. I didn't think that it was possible to have a ball go that far away from any teammates. Usually, like, on any play, just by happenstance, if you throw the ball downfield, you'll be closer than what he tried to do. But when they put Brock Purdy back in, it was pretty apparent he could not throw the ball more than, like, 5-6 yards. He said that his hand went numb, so it's like a UCL thing. So he just went out there and, like, tried to push the ball downfield best he could. But that game was over. There was nothing that they could do. I felt bad for 49ers players. Like, their offensive line, Trent Williams, didn't want to play in that game anymore because there's no point. You know that you can't do anything on offense. The Niners would have been better off just, like, throwing the ball downfield in an arm punt situation.
Yeah.
Like, giving up 40 yards, like, getting a 40-yard interception or punting on first down and then hoping somehow that your defense could score a defensive touchdown to win that game. That would have, statistically, I think they would have been more likely to win the game had they done that.
I'd agree. And my friend Stucky said online it was like a Mac game, and it really was. Like, there was vibes of a Mac game going on when you had, you know, the Josh Johnson come in, then him get hurt, then Brock Purdy come back in, punts hitting the wire, Kyle Shanahan not challenging the Devontae Smith catch in the first quarter was very significant. The biggest thing for me was, like, the Eagles' offense didn't look great. Their defense was incredible. Like, you're never trying to injure a quarterback, but their defensive line was just all up in the Niners' backfield the entire game.
Yeah.
And they just absolutely destroyed them.
Yeah. It's time to start asking the question, is there something about Kyle Shanahan's play calling that gets all of his quarterbacks injured?
That's a question we should ask.
He's a great head coach.
Brock
but
Purdy
does
was.
Does he just love injuring guys under center?
Yeah, Brock Purdy was perfect today, 4-for-4.
He was 4-for-4, 29 yards?
3 yards. 23 yards.
Okay.
We also had.
What's his total QBR on that?
His QBR was 90, or his quarterback rating was 90.6.
That's a
pretty
good, game.
Good day.
That's a good day.
Pretty
at the
good
office.
Day. We also had Ric Flair chime in. He said, Brock Purdy, I crashed in an airplane. Get in the game. What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
That, I was saying during the game, if you're going to get injured as a quarterback, you weirdly, in a game like that, you weirdly want to get injured to the point where, like, it's so visible. It's like, this guy's so in, like, your leg's broken or you're concussed. Because having to stand there on the sideline, I was getting flashbacks to Jay Cutler in the NFC Championship game. He's like, why? You're standing. Why can't you get in the game? It's like, well, no, he's injured. But the meatball brain comes over, you're like, dude, it's the fucking NFC Championship game. Why can't you throw a ball?
It reminded me
a
lot.
Couldn't grip a ball.
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of the Colt McCoy game against Alabama in the national championship, where he gets hurt in the first half, his shoulder's fucked up, and then he goes in the hallway and he's trying to throw passes to his dad and he can't complete a pass. He fucked up because you can't have your dad be part of that process.
Right.
It was true that you can't throw a pass, but you just got to leave your dad out, because then everyone's like, well, his dad wouldn't let him go back in the game.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy, he was on the sidelines, and he was still wearing his uniform. So, of course, everybody's like, if that was me, I'd be back in that game right now.
Yeah, dude, no problem.
It would have gone down different. Like, we're all Mark Wahlberg in that moment. But for him on the sideline, he couldn't throw. They put Josh Johnson in. I like Josh Johnson. Nice guy. There's probably a reason why he hasn't stuck around one of the 14 teams that he's been
on. And also someone in the gambling cave was like, Josh Johnson sucks. Oh, Stephen Chase, Josh Johnson sucks. You can't really say that about a guy who's the fourth-string quarterback on a team who then gets thrown into NFC Championship. Like, he didn't want to be there.
No.
Did you see him go for that fumble? I mean, that decided the game. The fumble at the end of the first half with a minute left, he fumbles the ball. And his face was just like, I don't want to fucking put my nose in here.
He's like, that dude's big.
Yeah, like, I'm not doing this. I was supposed to stand here and hopefully go to the Super Bowl and, like, get maybe 2 comp tickets. And that would have been sick.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he has to go in there and play against an Eagles defense that was just pinning their ears back all game and completely just fucked up everything the Niners were trying to do.
Yeah, he was 4 quarters away from going on the world's best golf vacation.
Right.
To Arizona, having fun, probably getting some interviews, getting paid by, like, a couple sponsors step in. He's doing interviews for, like, Goodyear Tires on Radio Row. He would have had a great time. And now he's in a game he has no business, he hadn't prepared for, and he's getting hit by Ndamukong Suh.
Right.
That's about as big a swing of the pendulum as you can imagine.
Josh Johnson was ready for his, like, pre-game show that Fox does at, like, 5 in the morning on Super Bowl Sunday and like a feature on Josh Johnson,
yeah,
the journeyman. He was ready for that moment.
Yep.
And it just didn't happen.
Got taken away.
The Eagles offense, I'm not going to judge, because they didn't look, Max, you can chime in, like they didn't look great, but I also think once it was 21-7 at half and once it was clear that the Niners literally couldn't throw the ball, they're like, why would we throw? Like, why would we show anything other than just running the ball and winning this game?
Yeah, I mean, that's what Sirianni's basically been doing all year, is that we get up early and then just run the ball in the second half, and you're going to do that today more than any other day ever.
The only thing that could have hurt them was a turnover
in
the entire second half.
Yeah, so, I mean, you just got to take care of business at that point. But
It was one of the weirdest games.
Yeah.
Like, just from...
It was uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, it was. It was just because it was like a game you watch in week two, and you're like, whoa, they really don't have this quarterback situation figured out. Not an NFC championship game. And you're like, this is not that I mean, you probably never felt bad. I never felt bad because I have the Eagles ticket, but like there were moments where it was like, whoa, this is kind of sad for the Niners. Like, they can't do anything.
Like, their best case scenario was driving down the field, like down three touchdowns, driving down the field, eating like 8 minutes of clock and maybe getting a touchdown at the end of it.
And like, you could tell they were trying to do something a little bit different when they would just do these random, like, weird pitch plays to Debo, and those would just get blown up for like minus 4 yards. Debo couldn't do anything. That's when you know it's a problem.
Yeah, I think you said it best. They just took care of business in the second half. It was like they had a business meeting they had to go to. They showed up. They stuck to the agenda. And then it was easy. The rest of it took care of itself. I do think that there is an underrated superstar in Philadelphia, a hero that we need to address. Do you know about the pillar guy, Max?
I do not know who the pillar guy is.
It's a hell of a story.
His name's Jigar Desai. So before the NFC Championship game in 2018, he was on the SEPTA on the platform, and he was like running next to a train, like saying, "Let's go Eagles, E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles." And he's like looking at the people on the train, and he just runs straight into the pillar, gets knocked the fuck out by this pillar because he's so pumped up. So he said that he was going to keep the tradition alive before this NFC Championship game, go down to the SEPTA and run into that same pillar again, full speed, just to bring good luck, and then go straight over to the link with his family afterwards. So shout out the pillar guy.
Yeah, he did
That dude's a legend. That guy's a legend. That guy set the tone.
He's a Philly legend. He's in the Philly Sports Fan Hall of Fame for sure.
Absolutely.
I'm looking at it right now. That is hilarious that he ran that back. That's why Philly fans are just the best.
Oh, and the Philly fans going after Bosa before going after Joey Bosa.
He looked like such a fucking asshole.
No, Joey Bosa.
Joey Bosa.
And then you could tell Joey Bosa, two signs that he was so rattled. He's like, what, are you going to post this with your butt buddies on Snapchat? It's like, cool, Joey.
I love a good butt buddy.
And then he just started talking about how much richer he is, because they were like, go pay your fines. He's like, yeah, I can afford it.
Do you know how much money I made?
Yeah,
dude.
It was just so Philly to rattle. Like, that's why you have to, like, anyone who doesn't love Philly in that way, because they just, it doesn't matter. If a family member, they're just going to fucking heckle the shit out of you. Mm-hmm. And they just go, it's the same speed for everyone.
Well, so Bosa tried to not let it get under his skin at first. He was like,
good one, guys.
And he's like, he thought that he was just busting balls when he was like, what, are you going to tape that Snapchat to your butt, buddy?
Yeah.
He was like, fucking nailed it. That was awesome. Burned just talking some shit.
And then you saw his family starts to hold him back.
Because they see the moment where Bosa starts to snap. And they've been around that before, I'm sure, where he just like gets into meathead mode. We saw it at the end of the C-Words game. And he's escorted away by his family, but he still has to turn around and be like, I make more money than you. What's up now?
This is actually a great hypothetical. You know, like the hypotheticals, how many, you know, 5-year-olds could you beat up? How many like drunk Philly meatballs could Joey Bosa beat up? Because I actually don't think I think it's probably like 8.
The drunker they are, the better I feel.
Yeah, right. Because they would just take shots and keep coming.
Yeah, they would just eat
eight
punches.
Eight Philly fans versus Joey Bosa.
Did you ever play like those Resident Evil games in the arcades where the zombies would just come at you and you'd shoot them with the guns? It's like that, except they have an unlimited supply in Philadelphia.
Yes.
So like you could, yeah, you could probably take out the first like 8 to 10, and they always wear those big ass hoodie sweatshirts that you can just grab and like sling around. So they'd be pretty easy to take out. But then once you reach a critical mass of probably like a dozen enveloping you, then you just kind of like
just
sink
for your legs.
You just sink down into the sea.
They start eating you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So early thoughts. I'm not going to hedge.
Yeah. No.
I think the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl. I really do.
The Eagles are probably better than the Chiefs at every position group other than quarterback. Yeah. Tight end.
Quarterback and tight end. Yeah.
But the line, offensive, defensive line, I'm taking the birds, receiver room birds, running game birds,
secondary birds.
Like, the Eagles have the better roster.
I will say Jalen Hurts running the ball today, like it looked like he's getting closer back to 100%, because he had a few runs where it's like, oh yeah, this is what their offense looked like for the first 13, 14 weeks of the season.
Yes and no. His deep ball was bad today.
The passing game did not look, but I also, again, I don't think, as soon as you realize the Niners cannot pass the ball, it's like, why would you take any risks?
Right. And
he had
it was
a couple bad overthrows, but he also had that one
Devontae Smith that he should have caught that hit him in his chest.
That's true, but even that was an underthrown ball. Like, that was basically just Devontae going up and making a play. You got to let your playmakers make plays. But I'm not as worried about that. Like Hurts has been, his deep ball has been amazing this year. So one bad game isn't necessarily going to start.
Andy Reid versus Sirianni. I would put the check mark on Andy Reid's side on that one.
Yeah, sure.
So they get head coach and quarterback.
Sirianni's been coaching. He's been flawless. Like,
he's gonna do something so corny this week.
Oh my god, he's the corniest guy ever. But like,
his
game plan has been great every week, and they just take care of business. 28 points average margin of victory is 28 points of the first two games.
Okay, so last question I have on this game.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
My rollback question goes to someone in this room who has not talked yet. And it's for Henry Lockwood.
I said Brady.
So Hank is in a pickle. I don't know if everyone here has realized what he's facing now. So Hank, you hate the city of Philadelphia. You hate Eagles fans. You hate the Eagles. You also now, this is a nightmare matchup for you, because the only person who's knocking on Brady's leg, and he's got a long way to go, but the only person right now that you could make the argument like, oh, maybe in 10 years he could have, you know, 4, 5, 6 Super Bowls and the Chiefs could go on these runs, is Patrick Mahomes. You hate the Chiefs. You hate the Eagles. You are completely stuck, because if Philadelphia loses this Super Bowl, that's another one closer for Mahomes. And if Mahomes loses this Super Bowl, your sworn enemies, the city of Philadelphia and Max specifically, have won a Super Bowl. This is a disaster for you. That's a rollback question coming. It is. It's a total disaster. I said this right before you came in here, PFT, and I saved most of it for the show, but like, I was like, oh, you're fucked. He's like, I'm fucked. He knows he's fucked. You are fucked.
Yeah, I mean, this has probably been the least enjoyable season of rooting for sports I've ever experienced. If I wasn't doing this show and talking about it every day, and this was like the job, I probably wouldn't like just not be paying attention to any of the storylines. I would probably watch the game, but like not, you know, watch it the day of. Like, oh, let's turn this on for a couple minutes.
What about if Mahomes wins another Super Bowl? You can be like, well, the NFL obviously rigged it for Patrick Mahomes this year.
It was
very clear.
No, he's, if Mahomes wins another Super Bowl,
Super Bowls are Super Bowls, yeah.
Which is why
both situations are terrible.
You need the Super Bowl canceled.
Yeah, I was thinking of what I'm going to root for, and I really
because the Bengals would have been so easy. Yeah, you would have been so easy to root for Joe Burrow. It would have been so easy for you to just go all in on the Bengals. Now, what is your choice? You don't have a choice.
I think he has to root for Mahomes' ankle to act up and for him to get taken out of the game, and then Chad Henne gets in and wins a Super Bowl.
I don't think that would matter, though.
Yeah, people would still be like, Mahomes won that Super Bowl because he got him there.
Yeah,
did they say Nick Foles won that Super Bowl, or did they say Carson Wentz won that Super Bowl?
No, but he didn't get him. He didn't play all the playoffs. True. Carson Wentz.
It's truly like in the short term, I probably would rather the Chiefs win just because Eagles fans are insufferable and Max would be insufferable if they won, and just watching that
22-1 kid, which I know you're not rooting for me. I know you're not rooting.
That doesn't
you
really matter.
You said congrats, I'm rooting for you, and I know you're not rooting.
Well,
for
I
me.
Did. I just wasn't going to say congrats to Max,
but
I
know you're
something.
Not rooting for me. Cowboys, great value.
Great value.
But in the long term, the Mahomes thing will be hanging over too. So I really don't know.
You're so screwed.
Like I'm going to have to think about it, and I don't. There's not
just
a lot
looking
to think
at your
about.
Face.
It.
This is just so bringing me so much joy.
What if you just didn't watch the Super Bowl, Hank?
I could. You know, I easily could if I didn't have to.
What about merch sales? Company
right,
man.
Right, that's, yeah, company man, Eagles. But, like, it's just.
But then Max has that over you. Oh, my God. You are really in a spot. You need to just pray that they somehow, like. I know what Hank's going to do. He's going to be like Saints fans in whatever it was, 2017. He's going to hope for, like, the next week that the refs call them back out on the field and, like, no, the Bengals, that was wrong what we did. Like, we got to replay the end of this game.
Yeah, I think kind of, PFT is probably the closest. Like, I'll probably just rock the Roger Goodell clown tee all week.
Yeah.
That's what I'm
back to Old Faithful.
Yeah.
But then once one of these team wins, oh my God.
That's the thing. So I will say this now because I haven't made a decision, but I don't want the Eagles to win at all, and I specifically don't want Max to win. I would feel bad if you lost and
you
didn't hedge.
Because I'm not going to hedge.
So, like, that's there is two very, very different things where it's like, I would be reveling in Max's demise. I would not be reveling in your demise, but I would kind of have to.
Yeah, you would.
But, like, you know, I mean, 22-1, that's exciting.
Wouldn't there be something magical about the fact that Philadelphia could start off, like, they would have their last three championships that they've been in, they've lost in the same calendar year, and you could just hope for the 76ers to make the NBA Finals, to have them lose in the championships.
Well, they would beat the Celtics to get there, so that would be.
And they're playing good ball right now.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is what you got. I think it's the Chiefs. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
You had a run.
But it's really not. It's really short-term, long-term. Because short term is definitely the Chiefs, but, like, long term,
it's not.
That
because
could
then
be a
you'll
disaster.
Look, yeah, like 10 years from now, you'll be counting Mahomes' rings, and you'll be like, "Fuck, that second one, I really shouldn't have rooted for him there." Damn,
it could be all your fault.
This is just—it's a beautiful sports conundrum that you've got yourself in here. I think he's going to end up rooting for the Chiefs.
I think he will.
I think he's going to. Because
end up, I mean, we're just talking.
He's going to
root
for the Chiefs.
You can only say
Patrick Mahomes is probably not going to win 6 Super Bowls.
Correct.
Like, we're only a third of the way there if he wins this one. Plus, he's got Joe Burrow to deal with, who is Tom Brady,
and
as
Josh.
We discussed earlier, and Josh to go through every year. So you can be like, you can make a bargain and say, "I'll allow you to have the second Super Bowl." It's probably not going to get you all the way there, and it would still make my most bitter enemies in pain.
Yeah. I honestly probably won't bet on a team just because I don't. Because it's a double loser. That's the worst. It's a lose-lose no matter what.
This is so good.
So I don't want to have
I'm
a double
so
loser
in
my
hands.
I'm
so happy you have to deal with this because you wanted so badly to for the Eagles. I do believe in like deep down you wanted the Eagles to make it to the Super Bowl just for them to lose in the Super Bowl. And now them losing in the Super Bowl hurts you just as much. Man.
No, I mean, that's not true. The Eagles losing at home to a rookie quarterback, like
you didn't bet the Eagles alternate spread.
No,
today?
I did, but I like
oh, you did?
I did. Yeah,
yeah. What were the alternate spreads?
I tweeted -13.5.
Oh, okay.
Like plus 320.
Oh, nice.
Easy cash.
Easy cash.
But if they had lost, they should have challenged that first touchdown, but that would have been that would have been great. That would have been better than losing the Super Bowl at home.
Man.
But whatever,
real shame.
Didn't happen.
Real
Didn't
shame.
Even come close to happening.
Well, that's you got to feel bad. Like the 49ers never had a chance. They're never gonna know.
Oh, you're going to see so many Eagles fans in Scottsdale. It's going to be the best. Oh, they're going to be on your ass.
Yeah, you might get jumped.
I don't. This isn't about me.
So I might
jump.
No,
I might jump. Hey, listen, if I see you getting jumped, I might jump in on the Eagles fan side.
I'm just there for work. Like, I'm just there for work, trying to do my job. I don't know why this has anything to do with me.
Coming over the top rope with a bottle right to Hank's head.
It's going to be like Bosa.
Yeah.
No, but I'm going to be like...
Oh, you'll be triggered all week. No. It's going to be a great week of content. You're going to be triggered all week. Yeah.
I think you just got to go full on, like, you got to become an Eagles fan for this week.
Yeah.
No,
that's what you got to do, Hank.
No, that's the only way to get back at him.
It really is. You're in a no win situation for sure. But if you become...
I'm just going for work.
If you become Mr. Philly.
Too late for that.
My mom would disown me. Yeah, way too late for that. You said some shit.
And they deserve every second of it. See what they did to poor Joey?
Poor Joey.
Just trying to
go
watch his brother.
Yeah, so I mean...
I was hoping that they were going to dismantle the sky cam when the wire hit that punt.
Yeah.
Just rip that shit down and treat it like Hitchbot.
Whatever, I'm not even going to say it.
What? Say it.
They're in the streets like they won the Super Bowl. It's the fucking NFC Championship. Act like you've been there before.
We have, and we did it last time too, and then we just did it again when we won the Super Bowl.
I think Philly just likes to party.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't tell Philadelphia not to grease up their lamp poles. It's a tradition, Hank.
Yeah, just act, you know.
They've got all the best traditions in Philadelphia. They turn dumpsters into hot tubs, they run into pillars on their train stations, and they grease up their light poles. That city knows how to fucking throw a jam.
Partying on the street after the Eagles won. Well, both, after they beat the Vikings in 17 and won the Super Bowl, are the two best nights of my life. Like, it is, it's unbelievable.
I think it hit me. I'm rooting for the Chiefs to win in a similar game where the refs absolutely screw over the Eagles. Because then I can just be like, oh, that was crazy, yeah.
And you can call them a fraud
for
winning that second ring.
And it'll just get Eagles fans so triggered because it'll be like, oh, they should have won. Like, they basically won, but the refs.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
All right.
By the way, we now have alternate angles on the hit out of bounds where it's their feet collide, and that's why Mahomes tripped. So if their feet, now people are saying if their feet don't collide, then Mahomes might not trip, and they don't call that.
Max Holmes tweeted, by the way.
I believe we call that cope.
Yeah.
Out of the blue, just said congrats to Batgirl.
Yeah.
No tag.
Nice. No tag.
That's fine. That's fine. I don't need a tag.
Yeah. Don't need a tag. Okay. We're going to have 2 weeks to break down this matchup.
We're going to get into deep numbers on this one.
I think the Eagles are going to win this game.
I'm sitting here right now. I'm going to dive into the deep numbers over the next 2 days. I'm going to come back with a guaranteed winner.
I like that.
Guaranteed
winner.
What's
the line at right now? It's because it moves around a lot.
It kept ticking back from...
Eagles -2.5, 49.5.
Okay.
Seems like it's sticking there.
Yeah.
No one believes in Patrick Mahomes.
Mm. Hunger dog.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get to our interview with Eli Manning. Then we'll finish up with who's back the week after. Oh, yeah. Hey, your favorite.
Listen up, we've got some tea and you all are going to be obsessed. We spoke with the Abercrombie team and they told us that they were going to launch a wedding shop. Well, we lost it because, as you know, we are both getting ready to get Abercrombie and Hitched. The whole vibe of Abercrombie these days is clothes you'd wear for a perfect long weekend, and all their customers were like, hey, we spend long weekends traveling for weddings these days. And then Abercrombie was like, we love that. Let us just give you everything you could ever possibly want and love to wear for all things wedding. So they did. It has everything. Tons of dresses, jumpsuits, pants, swimsuits, pajamas, pantsuits, and all perfectly curated for different events, bachelorettes, brunches, showers, ceremonies as a guest and ceremonies as a bride, reception, and even honeymoon. It is incredible. Check out the Abercrombie Wedding Shop on Abercrombie.com. Go shop it now.
And now, here's Eli Manning.
Okay, we now welcome on recurring guest, future Hall of Famer, two-time Super Bowl winner. It is Eli Manning, and he is here with us. We have something special that he wants to tell us about, the Children's Place. That's why we're dressed up for an Easter egg hunt. I don't know if you have the shirt underneath. We're all on the same team. Oh, no. We're more prepared than you, Eli.
Wait, what team are you even on, Eli?
Let's go. Oh, yeah, we're the egg hunting squad.
Same.
So it's an awesome campaign, the Children's Place Spring 2023 campaign. What are you going to do? Are we just going to find some Easter eggs? Where are we doing this? Let's get it going.
Yeah, we got some Easter eggs. We got some football. We got Sean O'Hara in there, Justin Tuck, Emmanuel Sanders, Brian Westbrook. So all of them are in it, their families. I give a big pep talk, get everybody fired up to go. And so it's a lot of fun. It's obviously, I think all Easter egg hunts are complete chaos. Then you throw a football game kind of during the Easter egg hunt with kids. So it's that's what got me excited about this campaign and doing it. It's just, doing something, a commercial with my kids I'd never done before, but also with some of my great pals and the Tucks and the O'Haras and their kids and families. So we grew up going to training camps and being around each other, and also a brand that like the Children's Place. Our kids wear their clothes. They, do a great job of the matching outfit. Like, all my son wants to do is wear a matching outfit with dad. Like, what's dad wearing? I want to wear what he's wearing. Now we can do it. Unfortunately, now I have to wear, full pajamas every night so we can match as we go to bed, so I can get them to go to sleep. But we're working through that.
It sounds like a good organization to be working with. It takes a lot for Big Cat and I to put on collared shirts. Mm-hmm. So this is the ultimate show of respect. We're wearing something besides elastic for you, Eli.
Yeah. It's respect to you.
I think you like a little stretch. You like a little stretch.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate it, guys. It's good stuff. Y'all look good. Y'all look sharp.
Thank you.
Yeah. So it's great to see you. We saw you on the sideline. So we're taping this for Thursday. We're going to have to ask you your championship picks because we're going to air it Monday. So if you're wrong, no pressure. But, that will be we'll see if you know ball. But we did see you Saturday night at the game, Giants-Eagles. And I thought to myself, we work in an office with a bunch of Giants fans. Do you feel a little bad sometimes what you've done to the psyche of Giants fans? Because every time the Giants get in the playoffs, they're like, we're winning the Super Bowl because Eli did it. they were walking around the office being like, it's just like 07 and 11. Like, you can see the similarities, like Eli's fifth year when he won it and Daniel Jones. So do you feel like you've kind of, like, you maybe have raised the expectations a little too much every time the Giants get to the playoffs?
Yeah, they're like, hey, this will be easy. Like, this, we've been through this. We've done this before. It's exactly the same. Yes. It's like Daniel Jones and, everything going on. But I think everybody was feeling good. Everybody was feeling real good. That's the way football works. You're feeling great until you don't anymore. And that's playoff football. And so, obviously, it was a big win the week before Minnesota. And getting that one, but they ran into a Philly team that's playing really good football. They're good at home. Jalen Hurts, seems to be back and healthy, and they're good on offense. They're good on defense. They got a great roster and coaching staff. So, unfortunately, just kind of hit them at the wrong time.
Yeah. So we can ask it to you this way because we are going to air it on Monday. Would you like to just say the matchups? Like, okay, the Bengals won, and it's going to be Bengals against the Eagles, and then we'll say, okay, it's going to be the 49ers against the that way we have all the bases covered and you won't look dumb.
Yeah, we can cut out the ones that you're wrong about, and then we can just leave the ones you got.
Perfect. Yeah, that sounds great. No, I think it'll definitely be the 49ers and the Bengals. I think they're playing the best football, and that'd be a great matchup, and two teams that have had a great run. They've been good for most of the season. They've kind of been through some stuff, especially the 49ers with some injuries and losing guys and multiple quarterbacks, but they just continue to win, and McCaffrey in the mix should be great.
Now, is that like a little Philadelphia hate that you have simmering? Because it does feel like in your post-career, you and your brother Peyton, you guys have – pretty much like unanimous approval rating. Everyone likes watching you guys. You guys are genuinely funny. You're having fun. You make sports fun. But I would imagine Philadelphia still hates your guts. Maybe New England as well. But so is that the one spot where you're like, look, I could do this media career forever, but I don't care if Philadelphia likes me. I hate them. They hate me. We're on the same page.
Yeah, I mean, there is a respect. And again, I think Philadelphia is playing. They're playing really good football. A lot of respect for Jalen Hurts. He came on the show. He's playing unbelievable. AJ Brown, Ole Miss guy. Miles Sanders has played great. Their offensive lineman. You go through the whole roster. There's not much of a weakness on that roster. But I just think San Francisco's defense is really special, and I think they've got some firepower on offense, and Purdy's playing great football. So I just think they have that. Have that ability to win some games, and it's kind of the same way as with Cincinnati. It's really about Joe Burrow. I think he's playing great, and the way they won last week, be able to run the ball. So you get that mix and be able to run the ball a little bit, and you get a Patrick Mahomes that's not 100%. I think and Cincinnati's had some success against them. I think gives them an edge.
You've played through some pretty significant injuries before. I don't know if you've ever played through a high ankle sprain. Or if an injury like that has ever limited your considerable mobility, you're kind of a speed freak back there. But yeah. In your experience with a high ankle sprain, I've heard that it's very serious. If you're a running back, if you're a wide receiver, if you're shifting direction a lot, if you're a quarterback, you can make it work. But when you're Patrick Mahomes, he likes to move around a little bit back there. From your perspective, would he be the type of quarterback that could make it work, given the fact that he's got a pretty significant injury?
Well, I mean, if anyone can make it work, it's Patrick Mahomes. But I've had a high ankle sprain. I got one the last game of the season. One year we didn't make the playoffs. And so it would have been like – it kind of if I would have ever had to miss a game because of an injury, if this would have happened the second to last game – there would have been a chance. This would have been the strongest possibility. End up eventually having a little surgery on my ankle over it. So it was maybe a little bit more than just a high ankle sprain, but it is painful. It is sore. And, Patrick Mahomes, he obviously has the ability just to hang in the pocket and be successful and just stay in there and can move around a little bit, make plays. But, It can limit him a little bit on that, the unbelievable plays he makes when he does get outside the pocket and extend those plays, whether he runs or has a little flicks for touchdowns. So I think it's definitely going to have some sort of impact on what he can do. And now, he can still be extremely successful from staying inside the pocket, but it's going to change things a little bit.
That was a bad job on my part because, again, I forgot that we're time traveling and that this is airing on Monday. And so Patrick Mahomes is going to go out and throw for like 6 touchdowns and run for 80 yards.
Yeah.
And we're all going to look dumb.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Eli, when was the last time you talked to Tom Brady?
The last time I'm trying. I don't know. When's the last time I talked to Tom Brady? Would have been it would have been like maybe April or March or April of last year, kind of not too far after he had retired, and he was retired at the time before he had come back.
Okay, so follow up question: do you think maybe you should reach out to him and be like, "Hey, listen, man, we watched that Monday Night Football game against the Cowboys. There's an easier way to do this. You don't have to throw the ball into the dirt and look like, you're scared for the rush. You could just self-sack like I did my last year. Like, just go down, because you were the king of that. Like, at the end of your career, like, hey, I don't want to get hit. Just go down."
No, I don't. I think he's doing fine. I think every quarterback, and I don't know, every quarterback that's not mobile has kind of learned the, hey, I'm in a bad situation. Nothing I can do. You've lost the ability to scramble some, and so you avoid the big hit, you avoid the fumble, the sacked fumble and all that. So you just gotta abort and move on to the next play and see if you can make up for it.
Okay, so talking about age, I have a rule, a dumb sports rule that I've had for a long time that I think would make college football a lot of fun. And it is, I saw your video, the Chad Powers video, which was very funny. And the rule is that every school gets to have at least one alumni on the team every single year, no matter eligibility or anything. So you retire from the Giants, you can go play for Ole Miss. The question is, and after watching that Chad Powers video, do you think that if you played in college football this upcoming year, would you have like a better than average season? Would you be able to, because just being able to like understand how defenses work better than anyone, obviously your arm is still good. What would Eli Manning's stat line be if he played for Ole Miss this season?
Yeah, I think if I can make it through the season, it's been 3 years, so like I'm not really excited about getting hit. I think that's when you know it's time to retire and you made the right decision retiring, is when you watch a football game and you see some of the hits and you're like, oh, that looks painful. That looks like, oh, that looks like that would really hurt. Like, I do not want to be in that situation anymore. So it's just the hitting. When I was playing, like, it's like you just didn't even see the hits. Like, you didn't think about it. You're like, oh, that's not bad. He should get up. Like, that guy's being a wimp. Now it's like every hit, you're amazed that people could get up after it. And that's when you know it's time to be done. But I think I could, yeah, in college, I could go in there and still be pretty successful. I wouldn't have to run. The rush of the defense line is not as bad. You could really, you know, get to a lot of good plays and with your checks and this knowledge. So I think I could go out there and have a pretty successful year in college.
Yeah, and it would. I mean, if that was available to you after you retired for the Giants, and especially now with NIL, if Ole Miss, you know, a couple boosters got together and like, Eli, let's do one last run. You know,
one last run.
Yeah,
I like it.
$40 million to play.
I like
for Ole Miss for one season.
I'm in. I'm
in. That's pretty good. I mean, imagine that.
Go back to college. Do I have to take a class? I got to go like to the bars and stuff and hang out.
Yeah. Yeah,
imagine that quarterback room. It would be all Chad. It would be Chad Powers, Chad Kelly.
Yeah,
yeah. You and Swag finally teamed up together.
Swag, let's go.
How great would that be? We do love the Manning Cast. We watch it almost every time it's on a Monday night game. It's the first one that I always check in on, and it's been refreshing to watch you and Peyton on there. You guys do a good job. You feature a lot of very funny tweets on there, and maybe one thing you could add in the future that I think a lot of people would appreciate is if you were allowed to cuss on there. I know Marshawn's dropped some F-bombs. I know you did the double birds, one of these. But I think that there should be like an all profanity allowed version of the Manning Cast. Is that something that you can talk to ESPN about?
I don't think ESPN's going to go for it. It's kind of part of the Disney, kind of the family-friendly idea. We've had, you know, a few Peyton's cursed a few times. It's a pretty good deal. If anybody curses, Peyton has to apologize, which I enjoy. So I tell the guys, yeah, go ahead, say a few. Peyton will, you know, will make it all fine at the end. So it, but I don't think we want to get too filled up with curse words. I think the occasional one kind of makes it fun.
Yeah, I like the occasional one. It doesn't have to be like rated R, but maybe like a solid PG-13 would be good on
PG-13, yeah, we can work with that.
I've noticed that he gets absolutely disgusted with clock management when you guys are watching those games. There's nothing that'll make him more sick than like Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah, that's his pet peeve. Bad clock management, not taking timeouts. When the Broncos, when he called 77 timeouts, he's like, I think I should take a timeout. Timeout. He's like, kept doing it. You could jump in there and call a timeout.
Does that irritate you, or do you have your own pet peeve that you can't stand when coaches mess up?
I think I see it. I just don't react quite the same way that he does. So he has to stand up. He starts biting the football. He gets very jittery and just like, I think it's like watching like your kid in a sporting event and you want to help him so bad that you just don't know what to do. And I think that's how he feels anytime he watches an offense and they're not managing the clock well and not taking a timeout or not spiking. It's just like, what are you doing? If I were in there, I need to be in there and I need to handle this because I could do it much better than what they're doing it.
Yeah. So speaking of the Manning Cast, you've had a lot of great guests. Has there been anyone you've been starstruck by? Because I remember I found an old story that you said the only time you've ever been starstruck is Kevin Federline. You asked him for a picture. Is that still the case? Is it still K-Fed is the only one that you had a lump in your throat to ask for a picture?
Yeah, that was my picture. That's why I had to get one with K-Fed, at the time. And so, yeah, no starstruck. I mean, I was probably the most nervous around Barack Obama, you know, a president. Like, you're interviewing a president. Like, I should not ever be interviewing a former president of the United States. That shouldn't happen. But he was awesome, super friendly and outgoing, and obviously loves sports and football. So it's fun to see the passion of these people, whether it's Snoop Dogg and him talking about the Steelers, or Condoleezza Rice and her passion for the Browns. Like, it really comes out. And that's awesome to see. And so, you know, look forward to, and some of, like, I didn't know they had such a passion for some of these teams, and to hear their stories and some of their favorite players from when they were growing up is really neat.
Yeah, we're Team Eli, or at least I am.
I think you're
way better on television than Peyton. You look better too. You've got the youthful glow about you.
That doesn't take much. Thank you.
You're smarter. Got a better head of hair.
Yeah, you got it all.
True. True.
How's your golf game right now?
I mean, it's tough. I'm in the winter. I mean, I'm at hockey practice and hockey games every Saturday and Sunday. So there's not a whole lot of golf being played around New Jersey right now. So I'd say the golf game is it's in question right now. So, you know, hopefully get some golf kind of in the spring and get back going. I think I'm a 7 or 8 handicap right now.
So that's pretty good. I have a funny random story, but what's your best score at Shinnecock?
My best score at Shinnecock, I think I broke 80 there, maybe. Oh, okay. 77, you know, just, you know, barely 78, 79.
Mine was 72. That's neither here nor there, but, and I'm not going to dox this person because he's a private citizen, but I was lucky enough to play Shinnecock with, a friend of yours who looks identical to you, and you know who I'm talking about. And it is weird that you've won, like, club tournaments with him too. You just go around. Eli has a doppelganger, and he's a very good golfer, and Eli teamed up with him, and he just goes around winning club tournaments around the New York, New Jersey area with Eli's doppelganger. It's crazy.
Yeah, it freaks people out. It's not that we're playing better than everybody. They just, like, they don't know, you know, who is who. We get accused of cheating. It's like, wait, didn't Eli hit that shot? No, that was my pal. He hit that. Like, they think we're switching in the middle of the round. And so we definitely look alike. We wear matching outfits for all our tournaments, and it just kind of takes everybody a little time to get used to it. And by that time, we got a little lead, and we can hold on to it.
Yeah, it's a great ruse to just be like, you see two Elis and they're both very good at golf.
That would irritate me so much if I spent the entire week getting mentally prepared to take on Eli Manning, and then it just gets doubled at the last minute.
Two of them. It gets doubled, exactly. We kind of say the same things. We talk in the same accent.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very smart. I should have said this when, you know, me and Biquette are Team Eli when it comes to Eli versus Peyton, but we just had Julian Edelman on the show, and I know he's been on the Manning Cast, and he reminded us we should actually be – we think your mom doesn't get enough shine. We think people talk too much. Well, I mean, your dad, obviously, great career, but you won a Super Bowl. Peyton won a Super Bowl. Your dad didn't win a Super Bowl. Where do you think those championship genes came from?
Mm-hmm.
Your mom's side.
No doubt. She was a hoops player, you know. That's where we get the height from. She's, you know, 6 foot, had a little hook shot. She was unstoppable in basketball. So that's where we get our vision, just seeing the court, you know, but my mom's the best. She was our ultimate fan and supporter. She didn't care if we won or lost, just had a cold beer for us and a hug after every game. And she's bless her heart, she's had to watch more football games and little league baseball and basketball games than any, you know, lady should ever have to do. She's the best. I'm the baby. My mom and I are very close. I talk to her, you know, I feel like every day, maybe every other day, might miss a few in there, but, you know, if it weren't for her, I think Tom Brady would probably have at least 11 or 12 Super Bowls
right
now, right?
True.
That's what I'm saying.
Point.
Like, she doesn't get enough credit, I think.
Yes.
We need to start the conversation to change that. You mentioned the cold beers after a game. I heard that I think the story came out right after you retired, because when you were playing, you didn't really have a lot of stories about what you were like as a locker room guy that came out until after you stepped away from the game. And then all of a sudden people are like, yeah, Eli would just pack a 6-pack of beer on the back of the bus after every game and just pass it out and just drink beer with the boys on the way back from the games. Is that something, was that a true story? Did you used to do that every single time?
Yeah, for all the away games, you know, I think I can talk about it now. I don't think it's quite street legal. We got to keep it on the DL, but you know, just kind of had a relationship with some of the locker room attendants at the away stadiums. I kind of had the NFC lockdown. Peyton had the AFC lockdown. So no matter where you were, you know, you kind of go sign a few autographs, give a tip, and I might have a 12 pack for you that you can go in the back and, you know, hand out to my offensive linemen and the guys who sat back there. So I think after just a long week, a lot of preparation, just being dialed in, go compete your tail off for 3 hours in a game. You know, it's a pretty good feeling just to, you know, have one or two cold beers with your pals and the guys you just, you know, competed with. And that was kind of my gift to them. They you know, especially the offensive linemen, they earned it. They worked for it. They needed it, you know, kind of help with some of that soreness and just be able to relax for a few minutes on the way home.
All right, so I have a couple more questions. We're wearing these outfits, and Eli's got his shirt on for the Children's Place, which is an incredible initiative they're doing. So the Easter egg hunt is going to be awesome. The 2023 campaign is going to be great. He's got a bunch of his friends doing it with him. It's going to be a great, great thing. So get excited for that. So, Eli, my second to last question. Arch, at Texas, you were great at blocking out the noise. In your career, in a big media market, as an uncle, is it going to be a little difficult to block out the noise that you hear on his behalf? And what I'm really leading to is, I think it'd be a great story if you and Peyton maybe started some burner accounts and started defending him online. That would just blow up the internet. If Peyton and Eli had a bunch of burner accounts just getting in the comments section being like, you guys don't know ball, he's playing well. What's the strategy here, knowing it's a little different than you, it's your nephew?
Yeah, I think we've put enough pressure on this kid just by, you know, what we've done and Peyton and I and our careers and Arch, just everyone assuming that you know, he's just sort of following our footsteps and make it to the NFL and have an unbelievable college career. So I think the more we can just, you know, let him try to figure this thing out. Let him be a college student for a year. I mean, he's already enrolled. He's in Austin right now, working out with the team. So he's working hard, trying to learn what he needs to do to get better and get on the field. And, you know, but for me, it's just, I'm excited for him. I'm excited for him to be in college. I mean, it's such a great experience to go play college football. You know, the pals he'll make, the friends, the great games he'll be a part of. I look forward to watching him. And if I can ever be a resource for him and help him out in any way, I want him to know that. But I don't want to ever make anything more difficult for him to have to answer a question about something I said about him. So I'm 100%, you know, support, and just want him to do well and have fun.
Okay, so I didn't hear an outright no.
No, so no burner account.
All right, yeah, well, I didn't hear it for Peyton. Negative. All right.
I'll do it. I'll defend him. I'll create some burner accounts. I'll be a dog. I'm a junkyard dog on the internet.
I'll create a burner account that says, like, totally not Eli.
Yeah.
Totally not Arch's uncle. Definitely, and just start attacking
I
like people.
I did think it was a nice touch how it was just a coincidence how when he paid his official visit to Ole Miss, they spray painted the end zone Manning for you. That wasn't for him at all, right? That was just 100%
for you. It happened to be for me. No, yeah. Exactly.
Perfect timing. All right, so my last question, it's actually a guest question. So Eli's doing great work with the Children's Place. It's awesome. Everyone check it out. The Easter egg hunt's going to be a great initiative. I thought, let's do something good here. Tommy, who works with us, is a diehard Giants fan. I asked him actually on Saturday, Eli, I said to him, where does Eli rank in terms of most important people in your life? And he said Eli Manning's number one, his parents are number two. So I wanted Tommy to be able to ask you a question. So Tommy is here. He's going to ask you. He's a diehard Giants fan. You are the most important person in his life. I thought we would do that for him. So, Tommy, go ahead.
It.
What's up, Tommy?
First of all, thank you for everything. My question is just, there's a story of you and Yogi Berra. You sang New York, New York together at an Italian restaurant in New York City, which is like fan fiction porn to like a Yankee Giant fan. I want to know if you have any other stories like that of you and other New York athletes just hanging out and just like being awesome and cool in New York City and getting like a really cool perk that would just make all of us feel really happy.
I'm trying to think. I don't know if I have any other, you know, cool ones. I've, you know, I've hung out with Derek Jeter a few times. Actually, the first time I ever met Derek was after my rookie year, and he invited me down to this golf event in Tampa, and I'm down there, and like I'm, and so kind of a guy said, hey, come down. You know, I was like, well, I want to come down. I think I get down earlier on Sunday early morning because Peyton's playing a playoff game. He's like, yeah, come on down. Like, we'll all be watching the game. And so I kind of get there, like, hey, you know, like just go into Derek's house. They'll be watching the game. And like I go in there, and no one's there, and it's like silent. So I'm like, well, let's watch the game. And I watch the game by myself. And then like Derek comes out, like, got dressed and ready to go to his event that night. And I like meet him for the first time. I'm just in his house, like hanging out, watching the game. I'm like, oh, hey, Derek, I'm Eli. I've just been watching the game in your house. Thanks for letting me, you know, be here. It was very, very awkward. And he's like, why are you here? Like, who invited you? He's like, do you know Wayne Gretzky and like Jordan and, you know, Dave Winfield are all here? Like, why are you know at this event? I don't think the guy who won one game in NFL deserves to be here. And I was like, oh, thanks, Derek. Very nice. No, he was nice. He was awesome. That's how I felt. I did not deserve to be there. I felt very awkward about it, but that was my introduction to Jeter.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, Tommy's going to be dreaming about that for the rest of the day. So you made his wish. Everyone do check it out. The Children's Place and Eli, they're doing an awesome, awesome campaign, the Easter Egg Hunt. And a bunch of his friends. We got it. We're the egg hunt team. There Eli, thank you so much. Always fun to have you on, man.
Thanks, guys. Y'all look great. Keep up the collared shirt. If you need some more Children's Place clothes, y'all can be matching. They're a big family matching. So we'll take care of you.
We should just always match when we do this podcast.
Yeah, we will. No. We'll start doing that. And yeah, good luck on Shinnecock this year. See if you can get a 72.
Awesome. I'll work on it. Good plan. Good round.
Hey, it's PFT here, talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, let's wrap up. Who's back of the week? Hank, I'm just so happy that you're so miserable.
My who's back of the week, though, did bring me some sports joy this weekend.
Good.
A little light in an otherwise very dark weekend. LeBron, he's back crying to the media. Saturday night, one of the most entertaining games I think I've ever watched. Lakers-Celtics. End of the game, Pat Bev, our coworker, go listen to the Pat Bev show. He did an instant reaction. He hit a huge three to take him up, and then he dunked.
Yeah.
For the first time since like 2019 or something.
Yeah, they put the stat on the screen. It said first dunk since 2019.
Yeah.
I was.
He had hops.
It was insane. Like the three was like kind of funny. It was like, oh, Pat Bev. Then I was like, oh my God, Pat Bev's going to win this game. This is going to be brutal. I'm going to have to listen to that. I'm going to have to listen to Roan and then the fucking Eagles.
Well, you didn't know the Eagles had won at that point.
Right.
And also the Chiefs had won.
Right. Game coming down in the last few seconds. LeBron gets the ball. Might have gotten fouled by Jason Tatum. And then proceeded to throw. The game was tied. It was going to overtime.
Part of the ball, right?
The same exact thing happened to Robert Williams 2 nights ago. The Reggie Miller was like, great block to end the game. Reggie Miller's the worst.
Jake, actually, you know what? We should reinstate the official call of the week. And make it that no call against LeBron, that referee.
You got to let the boys play.
Yeah, let them figure it out on the court.
We have the vacated graphic ready to go.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, no, mix. Vacate it.
It's a mix of football and basketball.
No, vacate it. Okay. Yeah.
But if honorable mention to that no call.
Yeah.
Okay.
LeBron proceeds to throw the biggest temper tantrum I've ever seen a player throw. He literally was yelling, hitting his hand, fell to his knees, and then was like doing like a downward dog, crying on the ground for 20 minutes before overtime. The game was tied, by the way. They lost in overtime. Russell Westbrook was it was so funny. They were running the offense through Russell Westbrook. He missed like three layups, a couple threes, lose the game, and just, you know, obviously. Wait,
you forgot the funniest part.
Oh, Pat Bev.
Yeah.
After the foul, Pat Bev, in between the regulation and overtime, grabbed a camera, went up to the referee with a picture of the foul, showed it to the ref, got teed up, which is, you know, Pat Bev, obviously go listen to the Pat Bev show. They talked about it, but it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen a player do. I was like, me and PFT were together. I was in tears laughing.
It was very funny.
Of all, you know, LeBron, I would say he's had our number, especially in the Garden for the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, maybe a little bit more. So to have that image that will last forever, every time he, you know, has a bad game, every time he's crying, they're going to resurface those images. So to have that happen, you know, at the Garden was a very, very nice Saturday night treat for me. It was one of those things, we saw it, I was dying laughing real time, went home from the bar, watched it like 10 more times laughing, woke up this morning, watched it a bunch more. It was just a great, great, you know, regular season, but Lakers-Celtics, it means more.
It was great. LeBron's temper tantrum, and he had a fair gripe because he was fouled on the last play, but...
Boy, who cried wolf.
Holy shit. That was... him collapsing to the ground.
I couldn't believe
when they're like huddling up, getting ready for overtime, and just staying there for... It was a solid 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think that he was there for almost a full minute.
Yeah.
Just like... on the ground, hands and knees, crying, just weeping into the hardwood.
Inconsolable.
It was great. It was very funny.
It was a very enjoyable January NBA basketball.
Did you guys see the official comment from official NBA refs?
Yes, I did see that.
Like everyone else, referees make mistakes. We made one at the end of last night's game, and that is gut-wrenching for us. This play will weigh heavily and cause sleepless nights as we strive to be the best referees we can be.
They should have started with America, Let's Talk. They should have. That would have been great.
They should have had, like, just posted a picture of them at the time while they were tweeting it, because it's definitely Rich Paul with a gun to their head as they're sitting there. LeBron James definitely hit up NBA officiating, was like, I need a public apology. People to know that you guys screwed that up.
And the Lakers need every win they can get, too. They're not.
Yeah, no.
They're in a bad spot.
Although, they're actually, weirdly, the West is so wide open. I think they're only, like, two games out of the play-in game. Which I'm starting to sour on the play-in game. We could talk about that later. But, like, the Bulls, for instance, are just not good. I don't want to see them losing a play. Like, the NBA rigged it so that everyone has a chance, so that everyone can stay invested. But it's like, do you really have a chance?
Nobody really has a chance.
Yeah, you don't really have a chance. Like, this is, they are right now two games out of the 10th seed, and they're 23-27.
Yeah, I mean, the playing game, the other probably funniest moment in the last couple of years of the NBA was Pat Bev celebrating after they won the playing game.
I guess that gives us those moments.
Shout out to Pat Bev. That truly,
he's the
dunk, it went from like, oh, this is funny, Pat Bev, you know, shout out to Pat Bev. And then it was like, oh my God, we're going to lose to Pat Bev. And then it was just, it was a great night.
And then getting
great
a
night of basketball.
Getting a technical foul called on you for bringing a camera onto the court to show
incredible.
A referee where he fucked up.
Well, those, that's awesome. Like, you know, it's like, Leo, you see the memes. That is going to last forever. Every time there's any call with anything, it's going to be that picture. And then LeBron doing the downward dog pose, crying on the floor will last forever, too.
Yeah. It was awesome.
It was incredible. All right, PFT?
I got a couple who's backs, if that's cool.
My
first who's back is Mike McCarthy.
Okay, yes.
Mike McCarthy is back in a big way because they are moving on from Kellen Moore. That's a nice way of saying they fired his ass.
Mm-hmm.
He's the latest in a long series of Wonder Boys for the Dallas Cowboys that have been expected to inherit the head coaching position at some point that just end up sucking ass.
Yep.
So Kellen Moore's gone, and Mike McCarthy is saying that he's going to now take on play calling roles. So this is awesome.
Yep.
If you know us as a fan of Mike McCarthy's lore, really, we just appreciate his background story.
Big fat Mike.
He loves doing this. He loves switching up play calling duties as a way to like pass responsibility. So he's going to go through the season. He'll be like, okay, the problem was I wasn't invested enough in play calling, so I'm going to call the plays. And probably halfway through the season, he'll be like, you know what? I realize I'm taking on too much, so we're going to give somebody else the play calling duty so I can focus on my job as a head coach more.
Yeah.
He did this in Green Bay all the time.
And it's also just, it's the beginning of the end.
And
because when you get this job, they're basically saying, now you have to fucking do this, yes. And you're going to suck. It's shuffling the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Yes. If there's one thing Mike McCarthy does not need, it's another thing on his plate.
Grass.
My other who's back is the Suns.
Oh.
The Suns are back because AJ Titties is back on Twitter and she's pregnant. She's pregnant as hell. And so the speculation is, okay, is this Devin Booker's? Is this...
Not, PFTs?
Excuse me?
PFTs? PFTs?
Meme said, I can accurately report PFTs. That I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Titties.
It was funny.
You did want to go shoot a video with her at one point.
It would have been a very funny video.
On Thursday, PFT like popped up out of his desk. He's like, oh, AJ Titties is back on Twitter. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, side note, can we talk about how you just don't have a desk chair and you just lie down on a cooler now?
I got my Yeti cooler there because I'm a man. And so I just sit on my cooler that's stocked to the brim with soup and C4. That's like what men do in office environments. Enjoy your little office chair with your ergonomic back design, no, Mr.
It's
CEO.
It's great. I come down, I'm like, okay. Is PFT there? No. And then I walk over, it's like, no, he's there. He's just lying on his back.
No,
on
there'll
the
be times when I'm like, I'll be talking to him and then I won't realize he left because he's usually like laying down.
I've been dealing with some back issues recently and lying down horizontally on my Yeti cooler is the only way for me to feel comfortable at work sometimes. But no, yeah, like a couple hundred people tagged me and AJ Titty's thing was like, hey, she's back and she's pregnant. Is it yours? Not mine. Not my type. Sorry.
But it might be.
I'm a butt guy.
But it might be.
Can't get butt babies.
But it might be. All right. My who's back is, we already mentioned him, but our friend Max Homa. He won the fifth major, the Farmers Insurance Open. Just the most Max Homa thing to do. And he is actually becoming like an incredible golfer. I think he's won the most. I think he's won the most tournaments in the last like year and a half on tour.
36 months, yeah. I think.
So he's like, he's legitimately a very, very good golfer. But
the last 25 months, no one has more PGA Tour wins than him.
Okay, so here's the thing. Like, we love Max. Max, we love having him on the show. We discovered Max. he would be nothing without us. I do root for him very hard. I bet on him a lot. But with that said, it is also our job because a lot of other Max is a podcast slut. He goes on any podcast and they'll all suck his dick. We are the ones, we're like his true friends that will keep him honest. So in order to keep him honest, his hat tan sucked. So he took off his hat and it was just like Stuart Sink level bad. Two, of course, Max Homa won a tournament when the final round was on a Saturday. You can't win on a Sunday. It's a Saturday. And three, it was during football season. So we all know, like, this is when he wins tournaments, when we're all focused on football. And he's like, oh, let me sneak in this tournament win. So that's my way of keeping him humble.
Yeah, well, and also he probably wouldn't have been able to win if it was on a Sunday after the Lakers lost on Saturday.
That's
That would have affected him way too much to even think about going on a golf course.
So we're just, we're the ones who keep him, you know, we got to keep his feet in the ground so that he can, I want him to win in Augusta. When he wins in Augusta, I will tip my cap and be like, Max, you're pretty good at this golf thing.
You know what? I think we should ban Max Homa from the podcast until we can do an interview with him in person.
I think we are at Super Week.
Yeah, I know. It was going to be like a 5-day ban.
Yeah, well, we're not going to run it for a while.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So we're going to ban Max Homa's voice from appearing on this podcast for at least several weeks.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
All right. Sorry. Tough love. I am a little bit uncomfortable with how good Max is getting at golf, though.
I know.
It was a lot more fun when he sucked. And we could just be like, hey, you're the funny guy
on Twitter.
You got a great personality.
Yeah,
you know?
But
and now he's hot. Right. So it's left us in quite the conundrum.
Well, it's because the problem is he's now like, he's kind of outgrown this shitty little podcast. And I don't say little, but like this shitty podcast, like where we don't know anything about sports and we don't know anything about golf especially. And now that he's like actually good at golf, like he's going to start hanging out with like really good golfers and shit. And it's like, fuck, man.
People that have their lives together.
Yeah.
I saw that he did a life advice thing with Ryan Harward.
Yeah.
And he was just basically like, yeah, you should just get better at golf and win some tournaments. And that's my life advice.
But worked out for me. Work. Yeah, it worked for him. Fuck. We got to keep him humble, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. That tan on your head. Ugh.
Also, I'm not a fan of the beard.
Yeah.
It looks a little perverted.
Mm-hmm. Also, hey, dude, if I can get this thrown my way every time I'm on a gambling stream, hey, how about stop playing golf all weekend and be with your child?
Oh, there you go.
You know? Like, or, what the fuck? All Saturday, you're going to golf? You're not going to be with your kid at all?
Yeah, or maybe get a real job, Max.
I think his kid was out at the 18th green.
Yeah, but was he paying attention to him? No.
Yeah.
Okay, so kid probably doesn't even know Max's name.
Yeah, he should save the wins until he's older, right?
By the way, my son has learned my name, and it's a problem because he says it, and I'm like, fuck, dude, you can't do that.
Big?
Big, yeah. No, but he was like, he was like, Dan, I want some. I was like, what the fuck? What are you doing? This is not okay. So, yeah, that's a disaster.
I don't think I've ever called my dad by his name.
Yeah, it's always, not, it's very uncomfortable.
It's always Mr. Marlins.
But he knows it's a joke. So he giggles every time. I'm like, God damn it, he's got me. He got me. Billy.
My who's back is Baker Mayfield's arrest footage. It went viral again after Stetson Bennett got arrested for a drunken disorderly. And honestly, that made Stetson Bennett go up in my draft board.
It's a tough break for Baker. He's like, he hasn't done shit. It's like, wait a second, this guy got me to trend online. I don't mind. If you're Stetson Bennett, what's stopping you from just getting absolutely hammered? He's in the middle of maybe the biggest case of senioritis of all time, and it's well-deserved. Like, he has lived his best college life.
There's no way he's doing classes
for a while. No.
No.
He's taking classes for
I mean, he's 25. Yeah. He probably graduated six years ago.
It was in Dallas, so I think there was probably some TCU fans involved.
Oh, you think he got set up? By the way, Billy, did you see DeMar Hamlin did a video proving that he's alive? So did you?
Yes.
Did that put everything to rest, or?
I played the part, but I didn't actually believe it. But for the sake, people are saying
it's good satire.
Yeah.
That
it was
the tattoos don't line up.
Oh, no. The new DeMar? The new DeMar. Okay, got it.
Hologram technology.
DeMar too. Yeah.
Well, deep fakes exist.
I couldn't help but notice that in the video that he put out, there were lots of cuts and edits.
Yeah.
So people are saying that the battery of the clone had to be changed. That's why they had to do all those different shots of it.
Yeah.
So,
I do think DeMar was going to do a video once the Bill season ended, but it did suck watching it, being like, I bet there was a small part that he had to do this because people were saying that he's actually dead.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
It sucked.
Yeah, no, his manager definitely had to have a word with him. It's like, hey, I know this is stupid, but some people think that you've Avril Lavigne'd yourself.
Yeah, the Billies of the world have made DeMar Hamlin actually speak so that people be like, oh, he's not dead.
Well,
how could Billy, as somebody who
I didn't actually think.
I know you don't.
There's other things I totally believe in, but that was.
You definitely thought.
You believe in way stupider stuff than this.
But
if putting yourself into the mind of somebody that actually does believe that he's a clone, what could DeMar do or say for those people to acknowledge, okay, this might actually be legit him?
I think he did. He's proved it.
But the tattoos.
You're good.
The tattoos.
But the tattoos.
No, that's what
up.
People are taking. There's like an old video before he got a couple set of tattoos.
And they're like, the tattoos
what the people
don't
are doing. Yeah, not, yeah, you're not doing
it. Dude, I'm not
you
doing
just
it.
Know
but
what
I do.
The people
for
are
some
doing.
Reason, this new For You page on Twitter pops up a ton more of like conspiracy stuff
this
for
is,
me.
Yeah,
because so it's in like, your brain.
It has nothing to do with what you actually click on. This is like early days of Barstool when Google Ads started like ramping up. And I remember there was a commenter one day who's like, anyone else getting dildo ads on Barstool? And I was like, dude, that's because you've been searching for dildos. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening here.
There was a dude that did that. He's like, the Google is now like messing with masculinity in America because it keeps serving me ads for these gay cruises.
Yeah. I was like, dude. Okay. All right. So, Billy, he's alive.
Yes. Okay. And also, who's back? I just like to give a thank you to Max, Evan, and Memes. The video hit 100K.
Hell yes. I watched it. It was great. It was actually legitimately very good job for all of you. Billy, everyone who edited it. It was. I was very proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm honestly just very thankful because these guys made it look amazing.
Billy, you're learning.
I'm just saying.
You're growing.
Yeah. I was like, this is awesome. So, honestly.
What are you going to get them? Are you going to get them a present or something?
Yeah.
I mean, they deserve a bonus.
They do.
So, what are you going to get them?
We're going to figure that out. Okay, we're going to the Bahamas. That's what we're doing.
What?
We're going to the Bahamas. Hear me out, boys.
Wait, we'll talk about the Bahamas. Show.
It's going to be cool.
Memes knows. Memes get knows. Up here and say it. He has an idea.
Right,
I want to hear it.
So, here's the idea. Billy McFarland from Firefest wants to fight in Rough and Rowdy. Billy Football is interested in fighting Billy McFarland potentially. And I think our Billy would beat the shit out of Billy McFarland.
I just
what is Bahamas?
I just panicked.
Where's the Bahamas? You didn't fill in the Bahamas.
We gotta go investigate what really happened.
So,
Billy McFarland.
We don't know. The documentary we watched didn't tell us.
I need to hear how bad he is of a person to convince me to beat his ass.
Billy McFarland owes money to people in the Bahamas. Restitution.
Got it.
And so our Billy would be fighting on behalf of the Bahamas.
So you're gonna pay all these people with your winnings.
Wow! No, Billy McFarland is.
Billy, that's sick.
Billy McFarland is.
So if you fight rough and rowdy, you're giving all the people of the Bahamas that are owed money your purse.
No, Billy. That's Billy
football.
Other
what?
Billy. Billy McFarland.
No, I heard you're going to. Wait, so you're not giving your purse to them?
Nope.
So you're taking money.
Damn.
Nope.
That's tough.
You're taking money from the people of the Bahamas.
No, I just sort of panicked my way into thinking of a gift to get these guys and just walked myself into a fight.
Yeah, you definitely weren't thinking about the Bahamas before this.
I wasn't.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Jake.
But I was.
It was at the top of your mind for
this is where Billy
no
talks
other
even more, he's going to get himself in even worse of a situation. All right. You would kick his ass. Jake.
Who's back? Your guy, Big Cat Novak Djokovic.
Yes.
He's done it again. He won his 10th Australian Open. He is now tied with Rafa Nadal. 22 men's singles Grand Slams.
23. I mean, they kicked him out of Australia last year.
One year ago, deported. This year, champion.
23.
It's crazy how much can change in a year.
Our guy should beat him in the quarterfinals
Tommy
or whatever.
Tommy Paul.
In the semis. He made the semis.
Put up a great run.
He did.
Yeah.
Did he play against?
Yeah. Djokovic won in straight sets. 7-5, 6-1, 6-2 over Tommy Paul.
Can we say that again?
7-5, 6-1, 6-2.
That's the goat. That's the goat.
Wait, when's the French Open? Because Rafa will
it's around like
one.
Memorial Day, early
okay, so
summer.
So we can chalk Rafa up for
probably
one more.
So he wins one more, and he's the goat officially. All you.
Well, next is Roland Garros, so it'll most likely be.
No, Rafa's going to win.
Yeah,
Rafa's kind of old.
So then Wimbledon.
Okay, so we'll do it.
Can
there.
Tie it up.
Yeah,
and then U.S. Open will be the determinant.
God, what a year for my goats.
Yeah,
Messi.
So yeah,
Djokovic.
10 Australian Opens. It's crazy. 22.
Remember when you were a Ronaldo guy? Hank has not had a worse sports year. He picked up Ronaldo. Every pick you've made has been bad.
Yeah.
You're a Cowboys Ronaldo fan.
With a minor in the Vikings.
Oh, with a minor in the Vikings, yeah. Semester abroad with the Vikings.
I forgot about being a Minnesota fan.
All right. Let's do random number generator. I say this doesn't count towards the pot. And doesn't count towards Hank getting it, but we got to do a number for the people.
I don't. That's fine. 6.
17. Memes saying 3. Evan, what do you got?
11. Oh, yeah, memes can pick 3 here.
Yeah.
I'm going back in the play.
72.
69.
Max, what do you got? 20? 22.
Whoa.
22. That would have sucked.
So are we counting this in the...
No.
Okay.
No.
Not even...
But we have to do it for the people.
So vacant.
Yeah, it's a vacant.
Another vacant.
Yeah. We could do two on... You know what? We'll do two on Wednesday. We'll make two official on Wednesday. Give Hank another shot. And what? How many shots has he had at this point?
We've been doing this
like
for...
200 or 300.
Yeah.
I thought it was
something
more than
that.
I think it's statistically now... Same as getting it like 11 or 12 times.
Wow.
That's just no way.
I actually, Billy, I agree. I agree with what Billy just said.
No, seriously.
No, seriously.
There's zero potential.
It's like, it is. It's like 0.99 to the whatever's power.
Oh, when you put it, no.
No, it is.
Billy's math checks
it's
out.
It's not.
No, I've been checked. I've said it a bunch of times and someone on Twitter keeps saying
I know
it.
That you've been checked. There's no way.
It's true.
Wait, say it again slowly.
So
it's more likely that I would have gone in 11 times than zero?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, look it up.
No.
Oh, you have a 1 in 100 chance.
Also, we forgot to say Tuesday is the bowling, so everyone tune in.
Oh.
All day.
Shit.
10 a.m. Eastern?
10 a.m. Eastern.
Is it on the Barstool YouTube?
Barstool.
Or Part of My Take YouTube?
Part of My Take YouTube. Subscribe to it all day. We got a very special guest. It's
few special
great.
Guests.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we can say one of them. Stu's going to be there. It's his birthday as well. Mm-hmm. PFT and Stu share a birthday. So Tuesday, birthday week, coming up big.
I've been pretending this like wasn't happening.
Yeah, no, we know. We sat down and we're like Tuesday, and you're like, oh, I thought it was Thursday.
Billy's got to go to the Bahamas. He won't be able to make it.
Billy turned down an opportunity to practice with us last week.
Oh, I mean, did we talk about this on Friday's show? Max bowled a zero? Is it an actual zero?
The lanes weren't waxed. I heard the story.
But he bowled a zero.
Here, Max.
Like every roll, like 10 frames of zero. You should be arrested for that.
I was working on stuff. I was just working on things. I wasn't bowling for scores, you know. We'll be all right come Tuesday. That's a promise.
Okay. As, well, I mean, you can't get worse than a zero. Love you guys.
Coyotes have been getting increasingly larger in the Northeast due to the deer population. Research koi dogs. Koi dogs. You saw one. Max saw one. They're huge. Talking away. I don't know what I'm to say. I'll say it anyway. Today is another day to find you shying away. I'll be coming for your love, okay? Shying away. I'll be coming for your love, okay? Needless to say, I'm upset it's, but I'll be stumbling away. Slowly learning that life is okay. Say after me, it's so better to be safe than sorry. Say after me, it's so better to be safe than sorry. I'll be coming for you anyway. Be shying away. I'll be coming for you anyway. Come on.